Welcome to Jade Explains Death, a place where the more morbid the curiosity, the better. We'll be confronting the one thing humans fear most, death. Each episode will be dedicated to a manner of death, and I will paint a vivid picture of how each would feel, as well as share some of the darkest yet most interesting real-life stories. Get ready, because we're about to embark on an adventure now. Welcome back, my loves. It's time for another death exploration. We are going to venture into the macabre world of executions and torture methods. This includes modern-day executions like the electric chair, as well as totally spine-tingling ancient methods like the act of flaying. My content may be upsetting to some and for mature audiences. Listener discretion advised. Do you know what the Stephen Kings and Dean Koontzes used to do back in the Middle Ages? Some penned some fantastic horror, but most employed their creative skill in a far more sinister way. Instead of creating their own fictional worlds of death and gore, they brought them to life. The creatively dark minds came up with some of the most horrific and gruesome ways to take people out. Which made me wonder if I could rise to the challenge and come up with some twisted torture method utilizing today's technology. I honestly spent probably a good 3 hours lying awake in bed thinking about this, and here's what I came up with. MRI machines. These machines use powerful magnets to create a strong magnetic field, which causes your protons to react and align with it, which is a moot point, but there are tons of urban legends out there of people dying from being unaware of having a metal object somewhere inside of their body. According to these legends, the machine pulls the object out of the body cavity, mutilating the unsuspecting person in the process. Truth is, metals need to be located in an area mostly surrounded by soft tissue in order for the objects to migrate within. It's often anticlimactic. The object moves around, creating profound pain in the patient, but to the naked eye, it doesn't really look like anything. But metals can heat up exponentially under the power of this magnetic field. The torture method that I've hatched up in the dead of night includes slathering a person from head to toe in a liquid made of metals. There are face masks that have metal properties. As the person's forced to endure a full body scan, which takes hours and hours, mind you, their skin would slowly begin to radiate with intense searing heat. The loud clinking and claustrophobic machine would only add additional panic to the experience. I also came up with the idea, you know, for the especially guilty to deposit metal shavings inside of their eyeballs at various depths. These metal shreds likely would be pulled right out of the eye globe. They would also heat up, creating a really gnarly, intense, throbbing explosion. Luckily, I don't have a violent bone in my body. I just have an admittedly dark, morbid mind. But anyway, of all modern executions, the electric chair disturbs me the most. There have been many lies told about riding the lightning, starting with claims that it's a humane way to kill. I don't care what countless people have told themselves in order to sleep at night. This is an agonizing way to die, even when it wasn't botched. And sadly, it's been botched many times in history. On April 22, 1983, John Lewis Evans III was pulled from his death row cell and ushered into a claustrophobic chamber. One side had a great big bay-like window, which was concealed with a screen, giving the impression that he was inside of a catacomb. The only clue that he wasn't actually surrounded by his grave was the bright, warm, fluorescent light. The night before, he was granted one last comfort before his miserable existence was set to be snuffed out. He was allowed his final meal request of surf and turf. He enjoyed a juicy, tender steak paired with shrimp and french fries. Not a bad request compared to some, like the man who requested a lump of dirt, or the basic bitch guy who noshed on fried bologna sandwiches and orange drink. You know, the kind that burns a hole through your throat. Evans was the kind of guy who liked to play it cool. He had a carefully crafted facade of a man who cared little for life, but carried a penchant for fucking shit up. On that day in April 1983, his facade began to crack, revealing a man who was actually afraid to meet his maker. His particular divisive death was deemed the Yellow Mama. It was coated in an obnoxious bright yellow paint. To many inmates, I'm sure it was perceived as a taunt, like, look at this yellow color. For most, it's a symbol of sunshine or spring flowers. You, however, are undeserving of such symbolism. For you, this yellow symbolizes the hue of sparks that may erupt into a full-blown fire while you writhe in pain awaiting your last breath. Funny thing about the Yellow Mama is, it was actually created by an inmate. Ed Mason, serving 60 years for grand larceny, was a master carpenter prior to his arrest. Ed Mason reminds me of the vampire who turns on his own kind, becoming a vampire slayer. He single-handedly created this death contraption. The model was officially built in 1927, and the tale of the jarring color is actually underwhelming. It was simply one of few colors readily available to inmates at the time. Prior to this invention, in Alabama, death row inmates were hanged on the gallows, an equally perverse execution. Behind that screened window of the execution chamber, Evans was prepped. This entire process certainly wouldn't help the nerves. His head was shaved prior to going in. A skull-shaped electrode was stuck to his head. A few more electrodes, moistened with a conductive jelly, were placed on various areas of his legs. Then it was a waiting game. Every death row inmate holds on to some futile hope that they'll be saved by a stay of execution last minute, even if that discussion was never on the table with their lawyers. This was always a rare occurrence back then, unlike today, but it did happen from time to time. Of course, now, with the level of botched lethal injections jumping off of the charts and the inability for states to secure the supplies needed, tends to happen more frequently. Evan's heart surely sank when no last-minute savior came. Once the screen was removed from the pane of glass, it revealed a small group of onlookers, which included a writer or two. Luckily for us, those writers provided a very gory account of what was about to unfold. They closely studied the stark expression of the man who was about to die. It was a big contrast to the man that they met at trial. Evans basically admitted to the jury that he needed to be put to death. In fact, he threatened to kill each and every one of them if they failed to render a decision to have him executed. He claimed that he could never be rehabilitated and would always remain a threat to society. These were likely desperate pleas of a man who would rather face death than a life behind bars. As the onlookers scanned his face while hooked up to the yellow mama, they wondered if he now regretted his own words. A sponge, ever so slightly wetted with saline, was placed on Evan's head. He was offered his last rites and a chance to speak his final words. His words probably came as a shock to at least a few. "I have no malice towards anyone. I have no hatred towards anyone," he exclaimed. "To me, these scream narcissism. They really should be the other way around." A hood was placed over his head. This likely sent an extreme pang of adrenaline and ice through his veins, an act that made his reality impossible to ignore. At exactly 8:20 p.m., the first jolt of 1,900 volts of electricity passed through his entire body. This lasted for 30 seconds. Unfortunately, too much time had lapsed since the sponge under his hood was moistened with saline. It had largely dried up. Also, the electrodes on his legs did not contain enough conductive jelly. The onlookers were hit with a pungent smell of burning hair and flesh. It was slightly sweet, but laced with the toxic aroma of melting plastic. His head was shaved bald, but the fine hairs that littered his body were all melting down to the root. Abrupt flames broke out on top of his head that seemed to dance all the way down to his legs, sometimes almost hopping entire areas like a bizarre skipping tornado. He writhed and flailed before slumping down, an act that prematurely predicted death. His hands coiled into a hardened fist as if his joints were cooking, losing moisture, causing them to shrivel like a burnt, dried fall leaf, a position that they eventually died in, but not just yet. The hood on his head appeared to almost have holes at the top where a fountain of sparks erupted in chaotic tidal waves. This man was inadvertently turned into a 4th of July sideshow, a human sparkler, a sight that was fucking unbelievable for the brain to accept. Two doctors carefully examined Evans, because keep in mind he would have still been quite toasty, and revealed the horror that he was still alive. So, the partially charred electrodes were refastened to his legs and a second jolt administered. This one was no less shocking. Ba-dum-bum. Sorry. A large plume of gray smoke infected the air. More sparklers erupted, but this time transforming into full-blown fire, which broke out over his head and his legs, all while oozing bodily fluids. Now the smell of his clothing melting permeated from the chamber. Onlookers were forced to shield their nostrils with their shirts. Some had to look away. But once that passed, the conflicting scent of a barbecue wafted from his meat's cooking. He was being fried up, like morning sausage. It was slightly gamier than your typical smoky aroma of ribs and burgers on the grill, and it was tainted by the slight scent of rusty pennies, likely a product of his still-alive system releasing inflammatory proteins which caused all of his capillaries to leak blood. Evans was again examined. To those doctors' dismay, he was still breathing. His battered heart was still fucking beating. A request for clemency from the governor was beckoned due to his unusual suffering. Turns out it's tough for many to watch even the coldest murderer endure a torturous and long frying session. But honestly, clemency at this point would have been more cruel. This man wanted nothing more than to die at this point, let me assure you. All of the burns that he obtained, as well as organ damage, would only continue to dish out more hell, even if no further electricity was introduced to his system. To me, it would be far worse to expect him to live for a couple of days following that treatment. He would have eventually died anyhow. And the request was denied. At 8:40 p.m., 20 whole minutes from the first jolt of electricity, a third was administered. How in the hell can anybody truly call this execution method humane in any way, shape, or form? Even people who burn alive typically lose consciousness in 2 minutes and die within four. The Yellow Mama and many other similar contraptions has found a way to extend the duration of death by burning in many cases. Sure, the lucky ones are rendered unconscious in under 3 minutes, but that is still 3 minutes too long. Evan's stubborn heart finally gave up after the third jolt. At 8:44 p.m., doctors finally pronounced him dead. The onlookers departed their audience chairs, some leaving forever scarred and traumatized by this morbid show. And I have bad news to share with you. When Evan slumped over after that first jolt of electricity, that doesn't mean that he was unconscious. Hopefully he was, but both doctors who carefully examined his body after each attempt found evidence that he was still aware going into the third attempt. Electricity pretty much hijacks your movement. It takes over your muscles completely, they seize up, your joints permanently contract, you lose the ability to control your bowels and bladder, your electrons will move around rapidly in reaction to the currents, but none of this means that you're unconscious. In fact, people who have been struck by lightning or survive accidental electrocutions often recall memories later on, right after they believe that they were knocked out cold. But that is just dissociation due to shock. As time passes, they realize that they can recall the absolutely detailed misery of the hell that they endured. Some are, in fact, lucky enough to actually be knocked out, and some just look like they were, the way that Evans did. No matter how seamless these types of executions went, it always included some level of absolute agony. Electrocution doesn't just pack a punch of pain, but it has an array of disgusting sensations. The feeling that you're about to vomit up your heart is one of them. That electricity is very hard on your heart muscle. Its beating will grow erratic and rapid. It can jump into a detrimental arrhythmia prior to giving out completely. That means that its rhythm is out of whack, and it becomes dangerous. This produces a sensation that it's crawling up your esophagus, only to slip back down. Over and over, it seems to attempt to crawl up farther, like a frenzied spider trying to get out of a sink filled with water. Additionally, there are a couple of triggers for hypoxia, or inadequate oxygen to organs or tissue. Your body itself, and the burning, will create carbon monoxide. The erupting fire will consume the oxygen around you that your organs need. This can cause the feeling that your head is inflating, heating up, and pounding. Fun fact, in this case, your head actually is heating up. Plus, not to mention the fact that this amount of electricity will actually begin cooking your internal organs and meats, as previously stated. I can't think of anything more unsettling than smelling your own self cooking. I mean, feeling yourself cooking wouldn't be much of a picnic either. Electrocution is a well-executed and direct attack on your nervous system. Your nerves have very little resistance to electricity, which means they basically lie down and offer themselves as prey to the volts. This results in blinding and irrevocable pain. Your nerves also get very confused. They do not compute. Sometimes this can result in them basically misfiring signals to your brainstem. That makes very little sense. These can include the sensation of cool water trickling down your skin, intense tingling, a deep tickle or itch, or a feeling of itty-bitty creepy crawlies crawling up your arms and legs. There are times that electrocution can cause death in a very unsuspecting way. The intense jolts can really screw up your brain signals. They can also directly damage the tissue, and this can happen in all sorts of areas of the brain. If it happens to damage the area that controls bodily function, like breathing, well, breathing goes out the window. The cause of death can be suffocation, though when it comes to an execution, death is the objective, so this isn't too shocking. Wow, clearly can't help myself. Considering the average length of electric chair executions is 7 minutes, that really goes to show how much suffering is actually endured. Because of all that, I deem this the most painful of modern executions. But things used to be a hell of a lot worse. The goal used to be the opposite. It used to be to inflict the most gnarly pain for the longest period of time. People used to earn terrifying death sentences for offenses as small as stealing food. Sometimes there was no offense at all. Sometimes people were surrounded by intense, crazy groups with shared delusions. Women especially were killed in unbelievable ways simply because nutso, mostly men, believed they were witches or heretics. A heretic is kind of like a witch. It could be a man or a woman, but it was a label reserved mostly for women. This title was given to people with evolved ideas of the world, ideas like the earth isn't flat, things like that. And obviously, many of those evolved beliefs ended up being true, but that wasn't largely determined until long after the executions. There were a number of devices used to extract confessions from so-called heretics. Obviously, they were false confessions given by people who were desperate to end their suffering. These devices were not meant to kill. They were meant to cause a lot of misery, and once a confession was obtained, then the horrible deaths were ordered up. One of these devices was known as the heretic's fork. It was basically a collar that could be secured and fixed tightly around the neck, with a double-sided sharp fork protruding from it in the front, pointing upwards and downwards. The top dug into the chin, which forced the person to tilt their head back as long as they could. The bottom part dug into the chest. If a person sneezed or had to put their head forward due to exhaustion, the fork would stab into the chin and jaw as well as chest. Just try to put your head all the way back for just a moment. Imagine doing that for at least 4 to 6 hours. Don't forget to put it back the way it's supposed to go. Once this horrid contraption stabbed into the chin and jaw, it took away the ability to ever eat solid foods again. It caused pulsating, hot, electrical-like pain to shoot in every which direction of the face and neck. The eating part wasn't much of a factor because the chances were high that the individual would be killed in the coming days. Despite knowing that a confession would likely lead to execution, this damn device had a very high success rate. The heretic's fork wasn't even the worst form of torture dished out to people with different views. The strapado, or strapedo, as goofy as it sounds, was fucking scary. This device was basically a beam that could be cranked high into the air. The victim's hands and arms were tied behind their back. The arms were lifted as high up as they could go and attached to the beam. They were slowly suspended into the air with no choice but to allow their arms to support their entire weight. This slowly pulled their arms out of their sockets. Shoulder dislocation hurts like a son of a bitch. It is just this intense current of awkward, throbbing agony that reverberates into your armpits and chest, as well as down to the wrist and into the back. A dislocation feels like a dislocation. You can just tell that one of your pieces has slipped out of its rightful place. It is just raw and biting. But it doesn't end there. Your muscles would slowly be stretched to their breaking point. The fibers would snap like a weathered rope. Nerves would slowly become permanently damaged, but not enough to lessen the disgusting pain. Some of those devices were designed to lower the person, only to bring them back up rapidly, which added the element of deceleration, or sudden stop to moving, which added sudden traumatic injury to the list. Once the arms were pulled from the sockets, this just caused that nasty raw deep ache to sweep over their entire body. The many miserable sensations would just flood your brain in a truly maddening way. This is the level of agony that has a 100% success rate of making the victims wish for death. This also increases the likelihood of severe damage to bone as well. Fractures were common when yo-yoed up and down over and over. If the supposedly guilty was allowed to live after this torture, they'd be forever changed. they definitely would lose function in at least a few different ways. Sometimes permanent paralysis of the arms and shoulders would become a lifelong trouble. Oh my god, and the chronic pain that would invade their daily life until the day that they finally died would have been ruthless. It's a difficult task to portray the misery that people endured back in the day. Words just somehow never feel like enough. It is really scary to think about being alive during these times. I mean, I am gay, which would have made me eligible for so many different horrors. Now, time to get into the fun stuff. When I think about the worst ancient execution methods, three in particular come to my mind. The first is scaphism. Scaphism deserves its very own, very large trigger warning. I mean, this one is disgusting and it involves bugs and being eaten alive, so, you know, consider yourself warned. This execution combined many people's worst fears with days or sometimes weeks of every circle of hell. This one was also referred to as the boats. There's little proof available that this one was actually practiced. It could simply be a literary invention, but just the slight chance that it was utilized sends many a chills down my spine. The first step in this horror story involves trapping a person between two hollow logs or boats, hence the name of boats. They were tightly bound. Strategic knots were employed to eliminate possibility of escape. That person was then force-fed milk and honey. I'm talking about bowls and bowls of the stuff. This was done until the person began to both vomit and experience violent bouts of diarrhea, and the bodily fluids were actually a key to this process. They were not cleaned up in any way, shape, or form. They were placed in a buggy swamp out in the sun where the vomit and feces would basically cook to their body. This attracted all sorts of nasty creatures. They were damned to just float along in the musty waters until they died from severe infection. Starvation was out of the question. A party was supposedly elected to continue to force feed the victim more and more milk and honey as the hours melted into weeks. The only requirement was a strong nose and stomach, because this would create an array of nauseating smells if you've ever had the displeasure of walking past a butcher shop or dumpster on a hot summer's day. Then you're very familiar with how cooking odors can really knock you off your feet. Honestly, being part of that group sounds like torture in itself. After around just one day, botflies would begin to deposit their eggs beneath the surface of the skin. Being tightly bound meant no swatting at pests. These eggs would soon become larvae, which would grow and grow and eventually dig their way out. Maggots would crowd the still breathing, tainted person. A passerby would likely mistake them for a decaying corpse. Allegedly, even rats found their way to the breathing body, where they would fight their way past the buzzing bugs in order to chomp down on their flesh, pull off a chunk of their meat, and swallow. They also used their sharp claws, which would create hundreds of bacteria-ridden surface cuts, which would ooze as the sun baked them. This wouldn't end for sometimes weeks. The lucky would catch systemic infection early on, which would likely take them out in under 4 days. But for the people with stubborn immune systems and dumb luck, this could carry on for up to 2 of the longest weeks of their existence. This next ancient execution is also, there's a little bit of gray area of whether or not it was employed. I personally believe it was. You may have seen variations of this in films. It is known as the Brazen Bull. This was actually kind of a neat little invention. Legend goes that the man who invented this marvel was tossed inside to demonstrate the death. What a wonderful form of payment for his hard work. It was just large enough to hold an average-sized man made of bronze and shaped like a bull. Beneath it was a pit to make a very hot and very large bonfire. Can you see where we're going with this? Some people, for some reason, have claimed that the device somehow converted the screams of the person inside to sound like a bull. But I can't find anything anywhere to verify this. I feel like this was just a little interesting tidbit that was added along the way. We all use metal cooking pans. And you know, you never want to touch your bare skin to that metal right after pulling it out of the oven. Or you know how it feels to pull a fresh pair of jeans right from the piping hot dryer. You put them on in a hurry and are met with a shocking, screaming burn from the buttons and zipper. Or perhaps you live in the South or it's summertime. You crawl into your car after it was cooking in the hot sun for 8 hours while you're at work, and you jump through the roof from the searing of your bare parts from the metal pieces. You get the point. Bronze gets hot and stays hot for a long time. Bronze is not the best metal at conducting heat, but it's definitely up there. It's ranked number 5 of all metals. This contraption had one door that sealed nicely when shut. Not that it would matter all that much. Even if a little heat and smoke escaped, it wouldn't really make much of a difference in the grand scheme of things. The poor individuals who were sentenced to this hot death were locked inside as the flames of the fire grew taller, encumbering the brass. What would make this so damn insufferable is the fact that the temperature would just continue to rise, slowly eating up available oxygen. That means that there were conditions that kept them alive for way too long. Inside of the first 5 minutes, you would be shifting your body all around, doing everything in your power to keep yourself from touching the metal walls. If only you knew that this is only adding more time to your conscious hell. In around 6 minutes, your exposed top layers of flesh would be shriveled and crispy with second-degree burns. If any pieces of your clothing was made of metals, you would probably tear them off. Those metal fragments would feel like they are melting onto your skin every single time that it made contact. You would squirm and jump with each new raw bite. Around this time, you'd find yourself impossibly thirsty. I'm talking dreaming of crisp, cool fountains springing from Mount Fuji thirsty. Your tongue would feel like a crusty sponge left out in the sun for days. It would slowly swell, taking up more room inside of your mouth, making it impossible to ignore. At 10 minutes, your skin would split down to your subcutaneous layer, which is your lowest layer of skin. Some of your nerves would be singed and destroyed, but the pain would just be reaching a fever pitch frenzy of overwhelming proportions. Your blood vessels located on your innermost dermis, or second layer flesh, would be void of moisture and medium well. Those blood vessels play a key role in regulating your internal body temperature. That means that your hyperthermia would really take hold of your entire system. Total nervous system dysfunction would plague you, and your blood pressure would plunge off of a steep cliff. You'd find a profound nausea sitting deep in your gut and throat, lying in wake. Any moment, you might blow chunks all over the bronze walls. Haziness would explode inside of your head. You'd find yourself especially vulnerable to gravity. You'd embark in a game of will, trying hard to fight the need to sink to the near-molten floor. But you are now void of the tools you need to keep that going for long. Within seconds, your body would buckle. The moment that you hit, a ripple of adrenaline would again sweep through your working parts, but it will eat up the trace amount of fuel you have left. Life will not be sustainable for much longer. Your throat would constrict and swell from the damaging burns. It would feel like it was swapped out for an old pipe that is rusted near shut. There's very little moisture remaining in your esophagus, and any time that you inhaled sips of the toxic, insanely torrid air, your lungs would swell with furious hot pain. You were once breathing in tiny, sharp, warm needles, but now you've graduated to water beads filled with acid. Once those beads reach your weathered tissue, they would burst, releasing their cruel punishment. If you were lucky, carbon monoxide poisoning would lure you into a flat state of unawareness. If not, you'd be alert when your clothing finally combusted into licking flames. You are too drained to flail in reaction to the misery, but the fire would cause your joints to harden and contract. Your nerves have all been completely damaged near your skin, but the deeply troubling sensations would still hold you hostage. You would finally give in to the deep, long sleep after around 30 to 60 seconds of being consumed by the fire created by your clothing. The total amount of time spent awake and aware inside of that bowl-shaped incinerator would vary from 14 to 19 minutes. The third execution was definitely not a product of a skilled writer. This truly did happen to many. Variations of it are still used today by cartels and other deranged sickos. I'm talking about the act of flaying or being skinned alive. I've broached this subject lightly in a past episode, but it's time to confront all of the nasty details. This sort of ancient practice dates back to at least the 9th century. This act was actually depicted in some questionable carvings. This wasn't just about ripping off clumps of skin. This included many layers of torture, like a rotten onion. Every step was carefully calculated to bring you to the very top level, practically the damn roof of horror. Human skin doesn't come off easily. That is typically a good thing. Through trial and error, a type of tenderizing ritual was created. Through the years, new ways to achieve this were used. You might have been first boiled alive. Sometimes this was done in dangerously hot springs or in other man-made contraptions. And the moment that you would hit that 230 degree Fahrenheit or 110 degree Celsius water, your extremities would begin screaming in scalding shock. Your most delicate tissue, like your skin, eyes, and lungs, would begin to damage from just the steam alone before you even became submerged. It's only the beginning, and you're already wishing for death. Sadly, death is still far out on the horizon. All of that sweltering fluid would cling to your curves and begin cooking your kidneys and blood vessels like a poached egg. Next would be your stomach and liver. According to witness testimony, speaking of the animalistic shrieks and howls, this process is absolutely fucked up to experience and witness. That testimony also spoke of strange noises that the body itself would make. Sounds like helium in a balloon being rapidly released, or doors creaking and then slamming shut. No doubt a symphony of the chain reaction transpiring in your organs and circulatory system. But, most importantly, your skin will obtain penetrating burns all over your body. Moisture would of course be sucked out and it would become shriveled like over-dehydrated jerky. As you already know, this would be one of the worst pains you can possibly experience. Somehow, humans always find a way to defy the odds and make things worse. I need your help. Please let me know if you can decide which method you think you'd prefer, because I can't even agree on this with myself. If you weren't boiled alive, you'd be put through an even longer process of tenderizing. You might be slightly steamed a tad. Even slightly is fucking bad. You'd still obtain at minimum second-degree burns. This degree is worse than third in a lot of ways. Every single sensory nerve would remain undamaged, allowing you to experience the full capacity of your full body wounds. But that's not all. You haven't even made it to door number two yet. After your quick steam, you'd be placed out on a hill in the sun. The steam was simply to speed up the objective. You'd be left out there completely tied and unable to escape until you became a twice sun-dried tomato or raisin. Finally, once you looked like you're practically emitting radiation, you'd be dragged back to the place of your execution. But really, which way would be worse? I can't decide. I keep going back and forth. They both sound fucking brutal. But now it's time for your grand finale. Sometimes just one man or even a group would bust out their flaying knives. Just catching a glimpse of these short, sharpened, curved blades with a bit of a bulbous end would send the last shivers through your bones that you will ever feel. Don't forget, you're already in a state of purebred torment. Your skin organ has been battered by the bat of the sun or boiling water. Several other organs have been collateral damage, but the fun is just beginning for your sadistic executioners. The very tip of the blade will be used to puncture your skin all over. I mean all over. Did I forget to mention that you would obviously be naked? This is to score your skin. This will leave you looking like a bloodied, featherless chicken in a human shape. So now, throbbing twinges of sickness has arrived for the party. Next, deep, long cuts that are about 1 to 1.5 inches or 3.8 centimeters in width and that extend just below your lowest layer of skin are made. It will likely kick off on your face. Your nerves will feel like they're spasming and coiling in reaction to the blade. Your muscles just below will cramp up. You will screech out, begging for death, which will provoke a joined laughter from your audience. Once the full cut is made, your skin will be ripped off like a thick waxing strip made of napalm or citric acid. You'll wonder how in the fuck you're still aware. You will curse at the sky or gods or universe, whichever most suits your beliefs. You will wince with just a flare of rage for the fact that the shock hasn't knocked you out yet. But the misery persists. This goes on for what feels like a lifetime before your entire face is now bloodied, battered, and void of protection. Any tiny breeze that dances along your massacred wounds will send you up the elevator above the penthouse of the tallest skyscraper of pain. Oh, and this takes hours to complete. If your executioner is inexperienced, it may even take up to 2 days. And yes, you'll remain alive for that duration and beyond, because only a tiny sliver of people perish from blood loss. In order for that to become your reality, you will need to be suffering from some form of a blood clotting disorder. As previously mentioned, great care is taken throughout this process to drag out your hell. There are claims of people living for nearly a full week before finally collapsing permanently. I'm not so sure that I believe this, but you might be able to squeeze out 2 to 3 full days. Death will come most likely in the form of systemic infection or hypothermia. Without your once connected and supple flesh to hug your body and keep it safe from outside contaminants, you will inevitably become stricken with some sort of invading bacteria. It's just a matter of if it will spread quickly enough to kill you before the freezing does. Your skin is also largely responsible for protecting you from the cold. It helps to regulate your internal body temperature. So, even a temperature that may be considered tepid to some can kill you in one night's time. I have to say, of all three of the ancient execution methods that scare me the most, flaying seems like the worst to me. Which one scares you the most? I just have to say that I really appreciate you so much. It means more to me than you will ever know that you've come along with me on my death journeys thus far. I don't think it's said nearly enough. You're special to me, and I'm so happy to have you here. This is another exploration that is only just beginning. I mean, there are probably a month's worth of crazy executions to dive into, so there will be a part 2 and 3 and 4 for sure in the future. But thanks again for joining me. I will see you this time next week. Until then.